burning fire, I see hope. Like when a moth is torn to a flame, fooled by the moon, revealing hope's way. Believe a burning eternal flame, like they burned which is on the stake, or evil sins to be cleansed away.
Stand. Rick, come Rick is the okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Zanzana. Please welcome Mr. Oddleaf Stensland from Communic. Hi, Oddleaf.
Hello, how are you doing? Thanks for having me over at your show. Yeah, great.
It's a big pleasure having you here with us. Thank you very much for being with us tonight. I got to say that I really love Communic and Communic music. And once upon a time, I had a radio show 20 years ago. It lasted for 20 years. And we used to broadcast Communic songs, you know, in the show. So it's a big pleasure having you here. Thank you for the interview.
Well, that's my pleasure. Thanks for having me. Yeah, cool. So we have been doing this for 20 years?
Yeah, we began, you know, with the century, you know, in 2000.
Cool.
Yeah. The show name is named is Zanzana, who means in Tunisian lot of noise. So, for the people who don't maybe know who is Communic, Communic is Oddleaf Stensland vocals and guitars, Eric Mortensen on bass, Thor Atle Andersen on drums. The albums 2005, Conspiracy in Mind, Waves of Visual Decay in 2006, Payment of Existence in 2008, in 2011, The Bottom Deep, Where Echoes Gather in 2017, and the last album who went out in, I think, November, Hiding from the World. The songs, 8 songs on this album, Plunder of Thoughts, Sorry. My Temple of Pride, Face in the Crown, Born Without a Heart, Scavenger's Wait, Soon to be Forgotten. Here it is. Here we are. Let's welcome Mr. Oddleaf. So, first question. We began with a song, My Temple of Pride. Some words about that song.
Yeah, it's was the first song that we made a video for. We actually had planned a bigger video for it, but this whole situation with traveling and everything going on in here in Norway at the time was like difficult to get this the filming stuff going on and the crew and people to help us out with it. So we ended up filming it ourselves and just sent it off to somebody to make a lyric video of it. So that was the first single that we released from this new album. And it's also, I think, the shortest song on the album. So it was cool opening to show the first glimpse into the songs on the album. And usually we have pretty long songs, so it's difficult to find or make videos, lyric videos that are interesting enough for the listeners. So yeah, that was the first song, and I think it's a cool one. Yeah,
very, very cool, because the melody is very important, I think, for Communic songs.
Yeah, this new album is a little bit simpler, like in the construction of the songs and the guitars and stuff. It's a little bit easier, but the lyrics and the melodies in the vocals is maybe a little bit more enhanced this time, a little bit more in front, but normally we just try to make the songs flow. We don't try to make things complicated just to be complicated or because people call us a progressive band, because I think we are more than a classic progressive band. I think we are much more than that, and we are incorporating a lot of different styles that don't actually label us just to be a progressive band. So, and we don't play that much progressive stuff anyway. Sometimes we have a little things that is kind of offbeat and in different time phrases and time timings and stuff, but I guess people put us in the progressive genre because it's complex music in a way. It's constructed in a complex way. The lyrics is a little bit complex but we are just a metal band, and the songs that we write, we try to make them live on their own. We don't want them to be complicated if they don't need to be. And maybe this time there was like more room to do just follow the groove in the songs and stuff like that. So this song is also some of the straightest things that we have done, but yeah, a little bit doomy and heavy metal, yeah.
Yeah, Sam Zikri is here, another great group, Hi Sam. And Marwen Selmi, hi everyone, hi Marwen, thank you for joining us. You took away one of my questions because I was going to ask you, why are you, a lot of people tells that you are a progressive metal band, and we know progressive try to complicate things maybe sometimes, you know, with too much solos and too much riffs and drums and things like that. It's maybe too much, they intellectualize, I don't know if it's say it in English. Too much, but you are not. There's two things. People say that you're a progressive metal band, so you explain that you are not really a progressive. And the other comparison that we find is they compare you with Nevermore, you know? I don't know why, because I will go more in comparing you in the with Opeth.
Yeah. Well, it's... I think that people compare us to Nevermore for the way I'm singing, because my range and vocal style is kind of similar, I think. But that is just how I sing. So there's not that much I can change about that. I try to express myself in this way, and my emotions and the way I put myself into the songs is kind of similar to what Nevermore did and Sanctuary and that kind of stuff. I think that is why people compare us to it, because we are a little bit different than that. We never use seven strings. We are tuned differently and they are heavier, faster. But I understand why people make that comparison, because I think it's maybe the closest one that you can actually, if you are going to describe, communicate to a guy or to somebody who haven't heard us before, that is maybe the most obvious, to get them into or to understand maybe what we are doing or what kind of style. But I agree, I think we are doing something different. And we started this in 2003, this band, and we are still trying to follow the same path that we started out, with the long songs that we really like and the dynamics that we have from starting slow and building it up and going down again and changing tempos without you even noticing that we are changing tempos and stuff. We want it to flow so I think we have trying to get better at that dynamic kind of flowing in the songs and we are still learning and trying to develop. And because we are only three people in this band, and we have been playing together from the beginning of this band, and we still try to fulfill each other. And that is why I also think that we are not that progressive, because we are so different in style, me and Eric and Tor, and I am probably the one that is coming up with the complex things, and the other guys is taking it down or making it more groovy and kind of making it a little bit more into what we are as the band, because the band is like consistence of these three people who is making music together. And if we change the drummer, it will have so sounded totally different because Tor is bringing so much of himself into the songs, and he's doing my music much better than I would have done if I was going to program the drums myself, because I never do that. I try to get the other guys to come up with their own things and put their own, even though I'm writing the songs and the ideas, they are putting so much of themselves into making the songs what they are turning out to be. And sometimes if I'm too progressive or too experimental in my approach of the songs, they kind of maybe tells me to, hey, it has to groove. You have to feel the groove. And then we find the groove and then, yeah, sure, there it is. And that was what we were searching for. And I remember some of the older stuff that I did before I started communicating with the other two guys. My approach to music or writing music was more, I don't know if I would call it progressive, but more experimental. I was doing a lot of weird stuff that it was really difficult for people to understand what this was going on. Or so together we are kind of finding the path together, and that is really important.
Yeah. And you took away another of my questions I preferred before, because the question I was going to ask you is, you are only three, the band, only three. All this music, all this album, all these melodies, all this groove, all these variations of tempo and variation of atmosphere, with only three. Wow.
Yeah, you know, but you know, when you are in the studio, you can add stuff, and you can add, because when I'm recording the guitars, I'm adding more guitars on top of it, but when we are playing live, we are only three people, and we don't do backing tracks, and we don't do harmonies on tape or keyboards on tape. But when you are in the studio and recording an album, you are of course adding more stuff. So it sounds maybe, I probably play two or three or four guitars on top of each other to make it sounding huge on the album. But when we are going live, of course I can't play the guitar melody that is going in a different harmony or stuff like that, but in the live situation I don't think that is that important. What is important then is like the core of the song, and that usually turns out pretty cool, and the feedback that we get from the shows that we have is people are asking us where we are hiding the other guys and hiding the other people on the stage, but we are only three people on the stage, and it's a challenge because you don't have, especially for myself, I'm doing the vocals and the guitars, and if I mess up, people will hear it. I can't hide behind another guitar player, and the sound that we get is pretty dry and tight, I think that is cool. And people ask us, why don't you add another guitar player or keyboard player? But that is, we haven't felt the need for it yet. And more people is more people. And it makes things a bit more messier. And if you have the band foundation that is like tight and is used to play together in the room, and then that is the best live sound that you can get. But of course it's challenging, but that's the way we create the songs, but because we like to do it the old way. And so when we create the songs, we are in the room together in a rehearsal room, and we are cranking the amps and play loud music in the room, and that is where we find the tempos and the feelings and the groove. And then we also know that this works. I need to know that I can play the guitar and sing at the same time, because it's easy to put the vocals on top of it in the studio afterwards, but I have to go on stage and play it. And then the best way to create the song is in the live environment. Not live, but it's in the room together without an audience, of course. But that's how we like to create the songs. We don't, well, personally, I sit in the studio and put the song together in bits and pieces and create it in on a computer, but then I bring it to the rehearsal room with the guys and we just jam on stuff. And together, that is where the magic is happening. And that's also, I think, why the songs turn out so long, because when we start jamming on stuff, new things arrive and new feelings, new moods, new tempos, new grooves and everything. And all the stuff that we like, we use, and the other stuff that we feel that that doesn't work that well, we put it aside, and maybe sometimes later it will fit again. And so, yeah, that's the perfect way to do it. But, you know, the older we get and we have, like, families and kids and daytime jobs, and we learn that the older you get, it's more difficult to find time to actually get together and be creative together. And that is actually the biggest challenge as we see today, because we are also, we don't live in the same close in the same cities, so we have some, so when we are meeting we need to plan everything, but that is what we like to do, and but I feel that was easier before, and now it's getting a little bit more difficult to find time to do it. But we still try to meet up every 2 weeks, we meet up and try to jam together. Yeah.
You told me that you have daytime jobs. So the question is music, okay, music is a passion, but is it a professional leisure?
No, none of us is a living of the music. So music for us is like a passion. It's something that we do. I would have done even without the record deal, I would probably sit and make these songs and just listen to it in my car on the way to job, to work. And it's, we are just lucky that we have a recording company that supports us, who wants to release this stuff, because we don't play like the mainstream music. We play music that is a bit on the side, and nobody can tell us what to do. And if you don't want to release our music, or if you don't like it, then goodbye. And because this is what we do, and we don't actually care, because this is not bringing like food on our table. Of course, it's cool to get money from the gigs you play and get something back, but that is like a bonus. And that is stuff that we usually try to buy new gear with to do better shows or do something more stuff out of it. But yeah, so we have to go to work every day and make a living of that, and creating music like we do and be able to release it is just like a passion that we have. Yeah.
We can say that thank God that you have a daily job, because I don't know what could happen to you with all this lockdown, no music, no stage, no concert, no show business.
Yeah, we are kind of lucky, because we didn't have like the big tour booked up that was cancelled, and we don't rely on the touring to get by. So, but of course it was challenging, because up here as well, the schools was closed in a period of time. So for myself, I have three kids that wasn't allowed to go to school. So they was having homeschool. So for myself, I'm working. I have my own graphic design company, and I was forced to work from home, and I was doing homeschool with the kids and then working it again in the evenings. So yeah, it was challenging. And also for Tor, he owns an automobile shop where he fixed cars and stuff, and yeah, brings a lot of problem into to the daily life. But and it's still going on, but it's more and more getting back to normal now. So
So there's Marwen who tell you keep your light up since you are okay with it. Best of luck. tell me, you just told that you got a graphic design, but graphic design agency, but this, where is it? Communic, hiding from the words. Why have you told someone else to make your graphic design of the sleeve album?
Because I'm not like an artist. I'm a graphic designer. I do layouts. I do magazines and books and typography and stuff like that. So I'm not like a painter or an artist. And of course I could have made something, but I think that it's cool to get somebody else's view on your ideas and stuff like that. So. This time we had Travis Smith to do the artwork, and he got the lyrics from me and some basic ideas, and he created this out of that. And I do graphic design. I did the layout of the booklet and stuff. So that stuff I did myself, but the artwork, the actual artwork, is like I have always put it aside to somebody else.
And When you spoke with Travis Smith, did you let him make what he wants, or did you give him some directions?
No, he asked for the lyrics, so yeah. I sent him the lyrics, and I wrote like maybe 4 or 5 sentences of what my thoughts about the concept. And after a while, he because he was pretty busy at the time, so we had some other deadlines before he started to work with our artwork. And in the end, he came up with some basic ideas, like the colors in the back there, and some of the elements. And he started to show me what he was working on. But he had total freedom to make whatever he want. In the end, there was like a few things that we changed, like the green leaf on the dead branch. That was something that I asked for in the end, because I think even though the album is pretty depressive and the lyrics are pretty, it's quite depressing, there's still some hope in there. And I wanted that green leaf to kind of resembles the meaning of hope, that even though everything seems dead and gone, there is still life and nature will prevail in a way, if you want. And so that was maybe one of the things that was added there, and also maybe the moth, you know, down with the lightning there, you can see there's a moth flying, and that's also linked to one of the songs. So there's also some other details here that he has picked up that is like, influenced by the lyrics in. So I think it's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, the branch that get out from the heart with the song, I think he was inspired by The Man With No Heart.
Yeah, we also had the song Born Without a Heart.
Born Without a Heart, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think some of this inspiration he had was coming from that song. You see, like maybe in the cage, in the bird cage, maybe that is the heart that it, and the hand is kind of reaching for it. And yeah, and you also have the key to the, it's kind of out of reach. So yeah, I asked Travis if he could write me some lines about his thoughts about it, but he said he never did that. So but then again, it's based around the lyrics, and I think he found the inspiration from there. And I I think it's really cool. I really like it.
Marwen, what came he like those old stuff in music? You want him to do cover of the album too? No. You're right. Like we say in production in cinema, everyone knows what's his work and does his work. Yeah. So this album, it's something very very deep. It's the lyrics. Every time I think Dominic has the lyrics are very important. I wrote some place at hiding. I will read the what they wrote. Hiding from the world is an album where the lyric aspect weighs a little more than the musical. What do you think? Is it true?
Can you say that again?
The lyric, life, hiding from the world is an album where the lyric aspect weighs a little more than the musical.
Yeah, maybe. I think it depends on the listener, I think. Because myself, in my early days of writing music, the lyrics was not that important to me. It was more just something that a song needed to feel complete. You need some melody and some words, but the actual meaning of the words was not that important to me. That is something that has changed over the years, I think, for me personally. And I've kind of learned to accept, to put myself more into the lyrics. I'm still hiding the stuff. So my lyrics are not that easy to understand, maybe, but for each album, I think it has become easier and easier for the listener to actually get into and see where it's coming from. But especially after the album that we did, The Bottom Deep, that was also a really personal kind of side of me that I put into music. And from that point on and today, it has become, I'm not so scared about leaving myself into the lyrics and maybe opening myself up for being personal or so now I think the lyrics are just as important, but maybe that is just me. I think for listeners, they can choose if they want to go deeper into the lyrics and try to get something out of it. But I get a lot of feedback from people on Facebook and from the social media. People ask me about stuff and tells me that they have found something in there that means something for them, and that is cool. And and in a way, that was what was my idea in the beginning when we started this band, because we're trying to communicate with the music and the lyrics and everything. And that was also where we took the name from, communic, like in communication. We are trying and that is cool when you get feedback from the listener that tell me that they found something or the song got them through a difficult time. It's stuff like that. And this, the way it's for me, writing some of these songs the last few years has been like, the closest thing is like calling it a therapy for me, because it's getting stuff out of my system. And of course, some of it is blown out of proportion or maybe put on the extreme to what people maybe think it's all about. But to me, it's really important. And I find it cool that people also feel that, and that somebody is like, some is experiencing it more than other, but to me it's like communicating with music and trying to get my thoughts across, because I don't tell it in the open, like it's in between the lines and people can kind of find their own meaning to it, I guess. So, yeah.
Yeah. The classic question is, what came first, lyrics or music? Because I don't think that these lyrics were written just to fulfill a song and a melody.
No, yeah, it really depends. Sometimes I have the lyrics like ready, and I then try to figure out, and the melody, and then I try to build the music around it and try to figure out how I can complete the story or build this together. Other times I have ideas for the song ready, and then I'm searching for the lyrics that will fit on top of that. And I'm kind of, I'm always constantly writing new stuff, and I'm putting it, when I'm writing new ideas and stuff, I just put it in the archive and I work on something else. And I put, so I have a huge archive with stuff that I'm constantly picking from. And it's the same thing with lyrics. I have a lot of lyrics that is like started on, or bits and pieces and ideas, and suddenly, there it is. That's, and it has maybe been there for 10 years. And then I, then it's, now it's the time. So I have like, and usually the stuff is going into the archive and then like maturing for, it's like a wine, I think. So then I pick it up, and I think the first song that we started out with when we was putting this song together was Hiding from the World, that actual song. And that was kind of setting the mood for the rest of the album. So that was the first song that we actually started and put together as a band in rehearsal. And then these other ideas was kind of grabbed from the archive and put together, because then I saw what was fitting together. And this is the lyrical thing that I'm going for, because, And I have like two or three more albums. It's like in the growing. It's like there. It's just, it's not, I don't have the final pieces of the puzzle. I don't know what will be the next, but suddenly it's there. And like the pieces of the puzzles is like getting together. And it's kind of been that, well, not for the first album, because then you have like, you know, the first album that you are, the debut, you have like all the years to write from you started to play. And yeah, so I always try to pick in the archive and use stuff that I find interesting there. And when we had that first song, I was kind of, everything was falling to pieces pretty fast, actually. So that's how I approach things. And my phone is full of ideas and stuff, because if I'm in the car and I have an ID in my head, I'm just singing it into the phone and it's just put away. And then maybe a month later, I'm going through it and, that was a cool ID. I need to use that. And sometimes it triggers a bigger ID and the next ID, and suddenly a song is born. But if I'm having an ID and I don't write it down or record it in the phone, it's lost, because when you are coming home from work, then it's gone. So I need to go back and kind of, so I constantly try to keep the ideas that I make and try not to forget it. Sometimes I wake up in the night and I have to go and record something because I can't sleep, because I have this stuff going on, and I need to record it. And then I can go to sleep, because then I know I have the ID on recorded, so I don't lose it. And sometimes when I listen to it after a few days, and I was like, what was I thinking? It was just rubbish. So yeah, and sometimes it's like, yeah, that was cool. But you never know. I'm I'm just like that.
I think you got how do you say disco dur? You got such a very big archive of music with on your hard drive.
That's it. Yeah.
I was looking for a term, you know, because it's easier for me in French than in English. So
yeah.
Okay. I think there's a question or there's a remark. Marwen, when you write music, you don't know exactly when nor where they're gonna be. So we stock ideas and then use them totally. Understand that.
Yeah, yes, that's perfectly. That's just how I do it. And I also have a lot of music that I write that is not like the perfect fit for Communic. And when I'm writing these ideas, I'm like, this is not going to be a Communic song, but I write it anyway, and just stack it away. And one of the songs this time was actually one of those songs. The last song on the album, Forgotten, was one of the songs that I had written, and I was thinking that this is never going to be something that I can use in Communic. This will be like for a solo album or a country album or something less strange like that. And I was just like putting it away. And I remember when we was like rehearsing on some of the songs before we had like started the practice, I was playing that main idea or the basic chords and the riff for that song. And the other guys liked it. And they was, hey, what is that? We have to play that. And then suddenly it turned out to be a Communic song anyway. But then it's back to how we as a band is kind of forming the music together. So I think we can change most of the stuff into what it is. But I write a lot of stuff that I think never would be like Communic material. And that's also why last 2 years I spent a lot of time building my own studio so I could be more efficient and maybe record these other songs and just put it on YouTube and stuff like that and don't think too much about it. But so that has always been a dream for me to not be dependent by other studio guys to be able to record my stuff. I wanted to be more self-efficient and do it whenever it feels for me. And I'm glad I got that done. And this whole new album was recorded here at my place. Everything but the drums, because the drums was recorded in another city because Thor is living in a different city. So that was more convenient for him. But it's cool to have like a place where you can invite friends and another drummer or whenever. And I do some projects all over the world with different musicians and we can just send files. That is like also the possibility when you have your own kind of stuff going on. So that is cool.
Yeah. The question I want to ask you, Odlef, is, first album was 2003, I think, 2004. 70 years after. Is there a strategy? Is there an evolution?
In the music, you think?
In the music, in your new music, in Communic music, you know. Look, when we see some bands, they went from growling and death metal, and now maybe they became jazz.
Yeah.
There's an evolution. I don't see two albums, three albums after three albums, and now and how about Communic? Is there a strategy?
The strategy that we have is like there is no rules.
Yeah.
So that is like as simple as that. We don't have any rules about, and we don't think about what the next is going to be, because we don't know. We don't know that until we start jamming the stuff and creating it together. And the evolution is kind of trying to, will figure it out on its own, I think. But we have tried to stay true to what we started, and like keeping some of the same things present for the whole. Yeah, but that is not like, it's not something that we have decided. It's just how it has turned out to be. I think some people find our albums different, but to me they are kind of connected and pretty alike. And I think it depends on how the listener is. I think it's like that for myself as well. I think the bands that you start out listening to, you always like the albums that you listen the most to, or when you start to get into a band. And then the bands change a little bit and don't write the same good old songs that you liked from their debut or the first two or three albums. And that is just how it is, I think. And that is probably going to happen with us as well, that people, yeah, and still people will be picking our debut and maybe the two first album as the best one, because that was the albums that got us known and got us out there. And that is probably what they listened most to. And that will bring, yeah, I think that will, but the stuff we do today is not that far from what we did back then. It's just, we are getting older. We have different views on things, but we are the same three people. But there's always new things in our music. Like on this new album, we have even incorporated blast beats on the drums. And that is something that we have never done before. But it's still communic, and it's still true to what we have been doing all the way. It's just a new element. And that is because Tor, our drummer, is a more extreme drummer than he kind of maybe get to put into communic. And this is his way of putting more of himself into the songs. And that is cool. As long as we as a band thinks it is cool, then we use it. So we are, yeah, like, if one of the guys don't like it, yeah, and the two other guys, yeah, then we need to work on it. So the last one is getting on board as well, and kind of, what can we do so you will like it as well? And we kind of work around it that way. But if two of us is saying, hey, that was crap, okay, just put it away, because that's like, yeah. But we try to evolve, and we can't do the same song over and over and over, but we try to mix up things. We change some tunings and do some different stuff to kind of make us be inspired in a different way, and to come up with new stuff that is interesting to us. But we always go back to the main thing is that we have to like it. I don't care about you or everyone else in this. It's cool when the album is out that you get good critiques and reviews and everything. That is, it's good to see that. And we have always been like praised with good reviews and feedbacks, and that has always been like great for us. But it's not something that we expect. We try to make it as good as we feel it can be, and then be confident that this is the best stuff that we can do. And if people don't like it, then be it. And we know that we can't please everyone anyway. So that's just music is. There was some people, one guy telling me that he didn't never understand it, communic. I asked him, yeah, what are you listening to? Yeah, he was only listening to death metal. Yeah, of course, then you don't like communic. I can understand that, because that's how we are. We like different genres and stuff like that. And I can't expect everyone to follow us or like what we do, because that's just how we are.
The guy is from Norway?
Yeah.
And he's from Norway and he listens to death metal. I was thinking that only listens to black metal in Norway.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of black metal.
Oh, it's a joke.
Yeah, yeah, I understand. But, you know, we have a legacy up here about there's a lot of great black metal bands and extreme bands. And that is cool. But and that is what made kind of Norway popular, I think, when it comes to extreme metal music. And it's a great, great thing. And there's a lot of cool bands up here doing that. But that doesn't mean that I have to do it. Yeah.
So, Manuel, what is I like the spirits your music is for you, after all, respect. Like the spirits your music is for you, after all, respect.
Well, that's at least my view of it. So, yeah.
You say that it's like wine, it have to hold to get better. The songs from the archive, I think he's speaking about that.
Yeah, I agree.
And it works and provides like of inspiration, to record. So, time is passing. sorry for having take you so long. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, thank you. Tell me. I think there's one of the big question of the lyrics of the album is the death, that the life can't stop from at any moment. You live and stuck, everything ends. What is it? Is it a problematic because you're getting older and wiser?
I don't know. It's actually, I don't know. I just find it interesting. I just think that you have to, some of the concept that when I'm started to work on this new album, I was kind of inspired about the legacy that we leave behind as like the trails that we leave behind. If you are a writer, if you write the book, the book will be released and it will be like forever in the libraries all over forever. And it's when you are gone, when you wrote the book, you will probably poor, you didn't have like money, but then you go away, you die. The book is still there, and suddenly people see that you are gone, and they understand that this guy is never coming back. But his legacy is there, and his book is there to be read. And then suddenly people see the genius in the guy or in the writer. And I think that was kind of
Van Gogh.
The idea about that was kind of coming from because I read some stories about some of the old painters from the old days, like the Renaissance and stuff. They was Van Gogh was really poor, never got the respect from his work that so the idea was coming from that, and I was kind of inspired by how it is that we are going, all the stuff that you do to try to survive, you make the music, your paintings, your artwork, and nobody sees the value in it and until you are gone, and then you have the families that suddenly is arguing about the inheritance, and they are claiming the rights, and everyone else is kind of earning the money of that so it's like a lot of stuff was inspired by that, and I found that fascinating and inspired me to a lot of the basic kind of idea about, because you have some of the songs here, Scavengers Awaits is kind of talking about that, how people argue when they have to split, like the I don't know the word for it, inheritance of persons or the families, and there's so much hate and stuff going on in that process. And yeah, so there's different sides of this, because it's not like the album is not like a concept album from start to finish, but it's based around some of these ideas that I had about the legacies that you leave behind, and the fact that just taking a ride with the car or a bike is like, you can be smashed under a drunken driver whenever you cross the corner, and you are gone, and you never know. So it's kind of, make the best out of what you have, and try to be like positive. But it's not like, there's a lot of depression going on here as well. I think it's, it's hard to explain this kind of stuff, but yeah.
And you have to say that you wrote the lyrics before coronavirus, before COVID-19, because the absurdity, like Camus, Albert Camus says, the absurdity of the thing is you're here, you're living, and the coronavirus gets it, and you're gone after 15 days. So this is another absurdity of life.
Yeah, it is, and you never know what and when it will, when it's
land. Yeah.
So, but I'm a happy guy. I live a good life. I have a nice. Everything is cool, but I like to write about more depressive. It's kind of more interesting for me to touch this kind of stuff than happy. Happy songs. I don't know what to say, but don't eat your ears. Yeah.
Don't do it. Never do it.
Yeah, but I find it interesting. Yeah.
The absurdity of life maybe is after when you're gone. In 50, after a long time, after living till 19, you know, after a long life, the absurdity of life is that when you're gone, the best of Communique will be number one on the US charts.
I don't think like that, but it's kind of, I found the whole, like, the concept when I was working on this, and when then suddenly, in this archive that I was talking about, I suddenly see a lot of, I found these lyrics there, because it was stuff that it has been there in the back of my, in my kind of an awareness that I was writing this stuff, and then suddenly it like fell up, came to life. It came to like, this fits together, and it was kind of written many years ago. And some of the lyrics is kind of suddenly coming together and making sense to me. And so that was like really cool. Yeah.
Odev, thank you very much for this moment, for this interview. Come buy this album if you haven't done it, because that's a pity of you that you didn't bought this album, Communique, Hiding from the World. Very, very, very good album. And you began recording for the next album or not? Or no. Working on it?
No, not at all. We have, I'm constantly writing new stuff, but we haven't started to put stuff together. And right now we are trying to meet up once in a while, and we try to be prepared when we are allowed to go out touring again or play live again.
Yeah.
We don't know when that will be, but we have some ideas that we are going to prepare at least for a live in the studio kind of scenario. So we are doing that. We are going to prepare for a stream or something from the studio, so we could at least release something to the listener or to our people that is kind of having problem to go to a concert or something like that. And that is something that we are, I hope we can get it, to happen. That would be cool.
Yeah, you're going to make it free or you're going to make it with tickets?
Then if we can keep the cost down and make it as I want it to be, just good enough and sounding as good and kind of be not like a big stage production. I want it to be like invite you to into our home or into our sphere. And if we can do it from here, it doesn't have to cost that much. And then it will be like streamed for free. And people can donate if they want to. And that will be as easy as that. And so that is the idea. So, yeah. I hope
because
happened. Yeah.
Yeah. The fact is, you know, music industry never think about this, but metal is from all over the world, you know, not only Europe and America and maybe Japan. Metal is everywhere. Metal is in Africa, in Tunisia, in Morocco, in Egypt, in Malaysia, from all over the world. And there's not very big opportunities to metalheads from that country to go and to see live, you know, because we can see lots of concerts of our band that we like in Tunisia. So when Metallica made Metallic Mondays, you know, every Monday streaming, it was absolutely fantastic for a lot of metalheads in Tunisia that were dreaming to go to see Metallica. And if they wanted to make it, they had to pay the tickets and have a Schengen visa and... you know, it's very, it's 5-6 times expensive than the cost of the ticket, you know? Yeah. So it was a very big opportunity for them to see concerts. So when there's the streaming, it's a big opportunity to open markets and to maybe satisfy fans from places that they don't have the opportunity to come to see a Communic concert.
Yeah, and I agree. And that is what we hope to do, because if we do a tour in Europe, it will be like somebody putting up concerts in the show in the cities that is like, easy accessible, I think, to travel to. Mm-hmm. And if we do a streaming like this, it will be there for everyone to see, and I don't see any point in taking like selling tickets for it, as long as we can keep the cost down, and we don't need to make a big promotion. No, we don't need to make a big production out of it. We just need to make it sound good, and that will be it, I think. And
I hope so.
So we are like getting together and trying to figure out what songs to play, and maybe we ask the people on following us on the Facebook what songs they want to hear and try to interact, and instead of taking tickets, we may be putting together like an album and a t-shirt, and they can buy it from the web store that we have, and can support us that way instead of like actually paying for the actual streaming. Yeah.
Or a Patreon, something like that.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, very, very much, Adlif. It was a big pleasure to talk with you.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for AFM that helped us to make this interview, and hope to see you on stage. Okay, so we're going to end this interview with the song that gave the name of the album, Hiding from the World. A song of a question. Some word about this song.
It's a pretty long song. As I said, it was the first song that we put together for this album, and it's kind of set the atmosphere And the story about the song is dealing about a guy who is living on the edge of self-extinction. And he's kind of distancing himself after getting a lot of rejections, and he tries to reach out for people telling that he needs help. And he is kind of stuck with the question, will people even notice if I'm gone? So that is like a glimpse into what the song is all about.
Yeah. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. Take care.
Let me hide from this world today. My eyes, how long will it take someone to care? Even hell is closed today.